Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part three of my three-part interview with a great friend of our ministry, Dr. Richard Ruley. Now, if you missed any of the prior two episodes, you need to go back and listen. You need to listen to part one and part two just to get caught up. We do not have the time to go back and cover everything that we've talked about previously. I'll rewind it just a bit, but you'll be missing out on a lot of very vital information if you have not go back to listen to episodes one or two. If you've heard them, then you're going to know exactly where we're at in this. But if you haven't, go back and catch up, okay? Now, I promise you, you will be blessed by hearing all that Dr. Ruley has been sharing with us. Amen? Dr. Ruley has been on our program numerous times. He always brings some great information, typically on Bible prophecy, but he is also a board-certified physician of internal medicine with a cardiology fellowship. He's taught at health science at Loma Linda University in California. He has been sharing some great health information with us in his past interviews as well. So you might want to go in the archives and find those. Now, he published a book several years back called The Fall of America, A Survivor's Manual, which details a lot of what we've been talking about and will be talking about. You can go down to his blog. Link's down in the show notes. It's thefallofamerica.blog, not .com, but .blog, and read all of this great information he has there. There's a couple of videos that will just keep you riveted there on his website. I mean it. They are awesome. Go check it out after listening to part three of our interview, of course. The link, again, is down in the show notes below. Today, I'm going to start off by asking Dr. Ruley to go through the four phases of destabilization that occurs in nations as they fall. And you will be astounded, if you're completely honest with yourself, of how far down this slippery slope America has already fallen. It's tragic. It really is. This episode should open your eyes to realize that, and that the soon return of Jesus is nearer than ever before. Amen. Then I'll finish off by asking Dr. Ruley to share with us his interpretation of the wedding parables of Jesus, because this applies, you'll be amazed again at how this applies to what we're seeing happening all around us in America today. And I always love getting his interpretation on that and sharing it as often as I can. So that's how we'll close out this interview. All right, so let's jump back into the interview now with Dr. Richard Ruley, part three of our three-part interview. Here's Dr. Ruley.
And God is allowing a demonstration on this earth, and there's good side and bad side, and we got to go in the direction of good, and I think the last 7 years are a chance for us to stand on the unpopular, the more difficult, good side, and show faith in God and where we're really at in this controversy.
Amen.
So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And that also supports Jubilee on 2023 from Roe v. Wade, because we're coming to the next sabbatical 7 years after 2015 is 2022.
Yep. Amen.
So
Amen.
That's just it in a nutshell. I've covered a lot, but you've been gracious. And anything else you want to talk about, that's good too.
Well, on your website, you talk about the four stages of destabilizing a nation. It's in a video on your website.
Yes.
Can you go over that for us, please? Because that's what's happening in the United States.
Bless your heart. That's a KGB agent that's explaining that on my website. And let me just give them the website. They can watch and get their own ideas. Mm-hmm. It's thefallofamerica.blog. It's not .com. That was going to cost me too much money, but you know they try to make it up. But .blog has these videos. They can see my own video showing the package deal of what they get for a $10 donation with the book, the DVD, and what's behind the New World Order. I'm a nonprofit organization, educational oriented, and I'm trying to educate everybody right now. But $10 donation, why not? And but the idea is that this KGB agent defected, risked his life to come to America, and he sees us repeating those things of first teaching and indoctrination, but we're coming to a crisis. We're not there yet when revolution will occur. But it also fits the book of Daniel. In Daniel 2, God saw that the head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, was going to be surpassed by another kingdom, chests of silver, arms of silver, thighs of brass, Grecia, and legs of iron, Rome. But since the Roman Empire, no kingdom has ruled the world. The feet were iron and clay, mixed, partly strong, partly weak. And then a stone comes cut out of a mountain and smashes this image, and it grinds the image to powder. Well, a lot of people think that's the second coming of Christ. You think, well, that's his kingdom. Yeah, well, but I've explained that when Israel became a kingdom, when they made a covenant, and I believe it says it's cut out of a mountain. In the book of Daniel, the only other use of mountain is Jerusalem, my holy mountain, referring to his people. Mm-hmm. And so God is, out of all the people that claim to be Christians, I hope some on this little podcast will be serious and want to know how we get there, how do we make the covenant and so on. And, you know, it's not just wait and see, wait and see.
Right.
The wait and see attitude is the foolish virgin response in the wedding parable. Mm-hmm. Yep. They waited to see, and, I don't have any light all of a sudden, you know. Well, they got to the wedding too late.
Yeah.
And my point is that ending events, when it really starts happening, I mentioned the Muslims taking the city at Passover, but a month later is Second Passover, when I believe, as the days of Noah, a big event. I think it's an earthquake. The day of the Lord is linked to an earthquake in numerous places. I'll give you a couple of them. Isaiah 2, verse 12 says it's the day of the Lord, and verse 21, you just reverse 12 to 21, it says God will shake terribly the earth.
Yeah.
And in Joel 2, 10 and 11, there's an earthquake. It says it's the day of the Lord, and it's a crisis in verse 15, and seek God, and he'll be with you, you know, et cetera. So this earthquake, I believe, will not only shake the Muslims out of Jerusalem, but it will trigger the San Andreas Fault, Southern California. Those Muslims over there think America is the great Satan because we have exported crime, sex, violence, alcohol, tobacco, you know, drugs, and so on. But and Hollywood has done this, and Hollywood is going to pay. You know, along with some others. You know, Southern California is headed, and I think I would encourage anybody that's got friends to move from Southern California. They're getting already messages, you know, fires, you know, get ready, get out, you know. And there is an exodus. I saw an article from USA Today that people moving to Phoenix.
Yep.
But a lot of people, well, it's going to get better. Well, no, it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
I think get out while you can. And there's several years to consider the evidence, study. If we, like Abraham Lincoln said, I will study and get ready, and someday my chance will come. And I think we have a few years where we can study. Things are going to get bad and worse, and we'll wonder what's happening. But fall of America is where we're headed.
Yeah, amen. Well, this escaped KGB agent, you know, he was talking about how, you know, the Russian, you know, oligarchy, you know, they infiltrated, you know, the institutions and all that. And you said it, he sees the same thing happening. This is from several years ago, a couple decades ago, I think.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I mean, you got what's going on in the universities, you know, because that's where they capture the minds of the young upcoming who are now running the show, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're doing good.
The steps of destabilization, you know, they bring the anarchy, and then that evolves into a crisis where we're at now. And that's where the revolution comes through.
On the word crisis, Revelation 14, 7th chapter, 7th verse, says, fear God, give glory to him, the hour of his judgment. But the word for judgment is crisis, spelled with a K. In Greek, it's spelled K-R-I-S-I-S. But time of crisis. And the Chinese, in their language, have two caricatures for crisis: danger and opportunity.
Mm.
And the danger is that we don't understand and we use our own human instincts. The opportunity is the bridegroom comes, and an opportunity for a covenant relationship to be protected with Christ if we do it his way, which is explained in the materials that I'll send, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how I see it.
Well, what got me was he even said that some of the
professors and these intellectuals and all them, you know, that are advocating, you know, this is the new, you know, way we need to go, this revolution, let's overthrow all this tyranny and all this stuff. But when the government actually takes charge, is either him or the lady in the following video, I can't remember now exactly, but they said when it happens, they're going to be shocked at the freedoms that they just lost, you know.
And not only that, some of those guys that taught, go for communism, they think they're going to be the leaders in it.
Right.
When all
that's what he was saying.
Yep.
That's what it was. Yeah, he said they'll be lined up. You know, when they realize what's happened, that they've been used like pawns, they're just going to disappear. You know, and
I believe that, and it's not going to be a happy time. But I believe that the Bible has the answers, and we need to,
They would start using the term normalization. You know, this is the new normal.
Yeah.
And boy, have we been hearing that.
Yes, yes. Well, it's a long ways away right now.
Amen. And then, like I said, there's another video on there. This lady, you know, she... from Austria, living, you know, through the days of Hitler and all that, and she talked about how Hitler came to power in Austria by deception, not force.
Right.
You know,
and
can you explain how that applies to your book?
I did not see the stuff in my book. My book actually was written in the context of what was happening in the mid-90s. Clinton had executed, they used at Waco, Texas, the Branch Davidians, flammable tear gas injected into the building. And I saw on a video a flame-throwing tank backing away with smoke from its nozzle. They murdered those Branch Davidians that were inside that building. Mm-hmm. And the claim was that they created suicide. Well, I personally talked to a survivor who got out, and he said he's out of prison on a condition of not talking about everything, but they didn't kill themselves. He bailed out of the building in time. And I'm just saying, Clinton murdered him. And the records were stored at Oklahoma City Federal Building, just next state up. And so 2 years later, the Oklahoma City building, he was afraid of lawsuit and finding out really what, you know, there was going to be lawsuits over that. Mm-hmm. And it arranged. The BATF had a drill the day before Timothy McVeigh blew up the building, they say. Well, Ted Gunderson, a retired FBI guy who knew explosives, went there and crawled under the building and found explosives attached to the central pillars, some of that didn't go off, but were still there. And they bulldozed everything so it couldn't be found later. But Ted Gunderson said that this is a high-tech situation and not something from a fertilizer bomb in the truck on the street by Timothy McVeigh. He was qualified to say that. And Clinton, though, used the terrorist act by Timothy McVeigh to get funding for FEMA. So now we have BATF on steroids, and FEMA was in New York City when the World Trade Center came down. Mm. And so you figure it out. But 1,000 engineers signed on that there is no way the jet fuel from those planes could melt the steel beams. The melting temperature for steel beams is much higher than what jet fuel can produce, and there's no way that those buildings would collapse. Yeah. And even Building 7 collapsed, you know, wasn't even hit by a plane. You know, our government is lying to us. They are lying straight out, from the CIA, the Pentagon, and all of that. They wanted it down, and I don't have the time, and it's not fresh in my mind, all the particulars, but... we did it, as Saudi Arabia said, 9/11 was the U.S. against the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I've seen so much stuff on that as well. I always ask you to share, you've alluded to this a few times, but I always ask you to share about the wedding parables of Jesus, because they always seem so significant to what we see happening. Would you share your insights and explain, you know, like I said, we've mentioned them a few times, but I want you to just explain your take on the parables of Jesus with us again.
Okay. Specifically, there are two common wedding parables that are known. Matthew 22, a parable of the wedding garment, where a man is thrown out for not having a wedding garment. And Matthew 25, about the 10 virgins, five of them had extra oil and were ready in the crisis. The point of it partly is, for both of these, that let me just say that people, if they know their history, they recall a Rosetta Stone, which helped to interpret the Greek, the Hebrew, I'm sorry, start over, helped to interpret the Egyptian language, because the Rosetta Stone had Greek, Egyptian, and hieroglyphics, or pictures. And the pictures, with they knew Greek, they could then decide what the Egyptian language was. And I'm saying that a wedding parable in Luke 12 is like a Rosetta Stone. It helps to put the other two together, in a sense, because if you just read Matthew 22 and 25, you don't have a very good impression. In fact, that's why maybe Protestants, evangelicals think we're going to be snatched to heaven. But if you understand that it's about a covenant relationship is what helps us. And let me say this. I wrote a book called Alpha and Omega Bible Code, because I was taught many years ago that in Revelation 1:11, it's like 1:1:1. Christ says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." And he's also the Word. In John 1:1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." So, but the word or a phrase where it's first found, he's the first and the last, has a consistent meaning with the last use in end times. And for example, that midnight cry in Egypt, there was a cry made, the bridegroom comes. Well, go to where you first find a cry at midnight, and it's in Egypt. Death from the Egyptians. It was a bad situation, a calamity, you see. I'm seeing that the wedding parables are rich with this rule of first use that some scholars recognize. They're taught that in seminary. It's just that they don't tell people at church this, and a lot of times the church every Sunday is just the same old stuff, sliced 50 different ways in the year, you know. But if Jesus is going to save us, but how is he going to do that if we don't do what he says?
Right.
And the point is that he says in the wedding parable of Luke 12:35, to have your lights burning. Well, go to where it's first found. And God, as a burning lamp, went between the pieces of a sacrifice in Genesis 15 to make a covenant with Abraham and said, "I'm going to give you this land." But as a burning lamp, he was proactive in initiating the covenant, which he said is seven times. He's, from Genesis 12 to 17, he said, "I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this land," seven times. And the point is that covenants are linked to sevens. Abraham gave Abimelech seven ewe lambs, and God gave Israel seven annual celebrations or holy days, you know, like Passover or like Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, etc. Well, the point is that when Christ said, "Have your lights burning," he is wanting us to be proactive. In other words, we're not going to hear God talking to us out of the sky. We have to initiate. We say, "God, I'm, you know, this is huge. I'm going to make a covenant with you." And we're supposed to wait, though, until he knocks. Well, the Bible is its own expositor, so it explains itself. What's the knock? There's only two places, you know, God helps us out. There's only two places in the New Testament where Christ knocks. It's in that wedding parable of Matthew 12, verse 36, when he comes from the wedding to knock, but also in Revelation 3:20. Every Christian knows this. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne."
Amen.
Those phrases have a parallel to Luke's wedding parable, because he knocks in Luke's wedding parable. We're supposed to open, and just as in Revelation 3:20, he's going to to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me on my throne. In Luke 12, he says, "I'll make him ruler over all that he has." Ruler over all that he has is the same as sit with me on my throne. And when he says, "If you open the door, I will sup with you and you with me," is the same in Luke 12. It says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord finds watching. He will gird himself and make us sit down to eat and serve us." So that's like the Last Supper again. It's a parallel to Luke. I mean, to Revelation 3. So my point is, the downside of all this is, what is the knock? The Laodicean church historically ended in an earthquake. And so I think the earthquake is a serious earthquake that initiates the day of the Lord. I shared this with a professor of Hebrew from a university that taught ministers, and he said, yes, you might be right, because the Hebrew word for knock has a severe meaning. It includes a severe meaning. So this is not gentle Jesus always knocking at the door, knocking at the door. That's one good meaning, and he's there for us. But at some point, we got to make some choices, and we got to do it fast, because it says open immediately. Yeah. It's not like any day later, maybe. It's now, okay? And the point is that when that happens, it will be a feast of Passover. The wedding feast at Passover is a feast of unleavened bread, and to me, it's not about, you know, Christ warned about he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, meaning their teachings or doctrines. Our preachers have leavened the bread.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They made it light. You don't need to do this or do that or do anything else. Just believe in Jesus. All you need is a relationship with him. Well, we got to do what he says, and I just think that the preachers are not at the wedding.
Yeah.
Because in Revelation 3:17 it says you are naked. It's talking to the agalos, or preachers, the messengers to the church. Agalos is messenger, the badly translated angel, because angels are also messengers. But we don't get the idea that the angels are not naked and blind. Preachers are naked and blind in terms of what they see. And so the bottom line is there's going to be an earthquake that's huge, and at that point it will be on Passover, a month later, second Passover, and we got to initiate a Feast of Unleavened Bread, teachings that have a sevenfold emphasis. I'll give you one example, okay, right now, and that is that when you read the Ten Commandments, you find Lord in all capital letters seven times. It really means that the translators did a bad thing, and they took God's name, four Hebrew letters. You can Google tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton is the four letters of God's name. Tetra means four. And they removed that name from Scripture, and they substituted Lord in all caps. But Lord is not a name. It's a title. And anybody that owns land is a landlord, et cetera. So we don't have his name right now. And some people think it's Jehovah, and some people think it's Yahweh, and so on and so on. But I have a website where people can go, and it's called, the first one is God's Name First Seal.wordpress.com, and they can read about the name. And at the bottom of that, there's a link to the second seal and so on. There's seven seals. So I'd say get the information. It'll be in my book, and et cetera. This is something more than we can really cover at this point. But I'd say thank you for asking. The wedding parables, when he knocks, that's when we go to the wedding immediately with a feast where 7 days. In the Bible, there was, it says in Genesis 29:27, fulfill Leah's week. She was having a wedding. Mm-hmm. It was a week wedding. Well, and I'm seeing that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is 7 days.
Yeah.
And it coincides because we want to give God the things that are his that he wants that have a sevenfold repetition. It's a mark of end-time truth, just like the sevens in Revelation. Revelation has seven seals, seven trumpets, seven thunders. And we want the sevens, and we want to give them to him. The name is one thing. We want to know his name, and it says in Joel 2:31, I think it is, that it's the day of the Lord, and whoever calls on his name will be delivered.
Yep.
And so that's big picture.
Amen. Amen. That's always good. I love how you explain that so well. Dr. Ruland, all this has just been so interesting today, so needful for everything we see happening right now. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or order your books, how can they do that? Give us that information.
Okay. The best way is to remember the title. It's kind of awesome, The Fall of America, thefallofamerica.blog, and make a donation for $10, and they can get not just my book, Fall of America, but they will get a DVD that sells for $10 plus $4 for shipping on Amazon. It's a good deal. It shows how to reverse most disease. I love that DVD. I use it in my seminars, and if anybody wants me to come to their church, I can do that if they see that DVD. But also, What's Behind the New World Order, a summary of the forces behind pushing us to UN and really, I think, papal control over the whole world. That's the Pope's road to regaining world supremacy. He had it in Europe, persecution, and people came to this country for freedom, but now we're losing it all, and we're going to go back under the UN and Pope's control. He's riding that beast in Revelation 17. The whore is riding a beast of New World Order. Mm. So, not good.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, go down in the show notes down below. You know, click that link, thefallofamerica.blog. Get a $10 donation to help Dr. Ruling's ministry and his nonprofit, but you're going to get this, so much information. This is
and $3 awesome. For shipping. There'll be an option for $3 that covers the shipping cost. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Well, Dr. Ruling, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to join us today. As always, you just give us so much to think about, and I do appreciate your time.
Well, God bless you. You are at the Kingdom Crossroads, and that's where we need to be. And may God, your people support you too. And hallelujah, let's move forward toward the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. It's been good. Go down the show notes, click the link, get in touch with Dr. Ruling, get his book. This is awesome. We need this information in the day and time in which we live right now. That's all the time we have for today. For Dr. Ruley, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you
do. Amen.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.